You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
I'm so excited because the first book by Darkness Prevails and Carmen Carrion is available for pre-order right now. It's the Freaky Folklore Compendium, filled with the history and lore of the most terrifying folklore monsters across the globe, alongside some cool but creepy illustrations. Releases July 16th. Pre-order now at eeriecast.com/freak or on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and your favorite bookstore.
Peering through the looking glass, the captain could make out a looming figure in the water's depths ahead of the ship. With little time to react, he hastily commanded his crew to maneuver the vessel around the colossal object. Bewilderment seized him as he pondered how such a massive log could drift so effortlessly in the heart of the lake. As he gazed through the glass once more, his eyes met an unsettling sight. A pair of blazing eyes fixed upon him from what he assumed to be a mere log. A chill coursed through his veins as the creature blinked and vanished beneath the surface, leaving the captain grappling with the unnerving reality of the unknown lurking beneath the surface. Welcome to Destination Terror, your passport to the scariest places in the world. From haunted hotels to locations of unexplained creature sightings, and now places we only visit in our imagination. We will travel to places that will provide excitement, adventure, and horror. Today we're visiting Flathead Lake in Montana, where a monster is said to slither beneath the tranquil surface of the water. So if you're into travel and all things scary, listen close, and you might just discover your next exciting adventure destination. But hopefully, not your final destination. Destination Terror is an EerieCast original podcast hosted by me, Carmen Carrion. If you would like to send us a suggestion or submit a story with your own experience, you can email them to carmencarrion@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter at Carmen Carrion. If you enjoy the show, please follow and rate Destination Terror on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to help us grow. Also, check out eeriecast.com for more scary podcasts, such as Freaky Folklore, the podcast where together we explore horrifying legends across the world and tell terrifying tales of monsters, both ancient and modern. I remember the summer I turned 11, better than any other summer of my adolescence. My brother Waylon and I had been begging my dad to take us on another camping trip. We usually went 3 times a year, but summer was always our favorite time to go. We got to spend 2 weeks in the wilderness, just us and Dad. Mom wasn't big on camping, but she always made sure we had everything we needed. Plus, she rather enjoyed her 2 weeks of solitude while we were out. Waylon was older than me by a few years, but we were inseparable. We did everything together, including getting each other into plenty of trouble. It never failed. We always managed to find it. I couldn't put my finger on it at the time, but I knew this trip would be different. I just didn't know how it would change me for the rest of my life. We set out early in the morning, Dad had picked Flathead Lake. It was about an hour's drive from our house. We'd been fishing there many times over the years with our grandfather before he passed last summer. We had a few of our favorite fishing holes mapped out, and before I knew it, Waylon and I were arguing over who had the best fishing spot. Naturally, Dad would cut in and insist his was by far the best. The truth is, all the fishing spots on the lake were pretty good, but Dad was just a better fisherman than we were. It was just before lunch when we arrived at what would be home for the next 2 weeks. We had a perfect spot by the lake. The small clearing had just enough room for the tent, the truck, the fire, and some wiggle room. Safe to say we wouldn't have any room for neighbors. I know Dad did it on purpose after the camping trip we took 2 years ago. He didn't get a private spot, and there were too many people trying to make conversation with my dad while he fished, cooked, and tried to breathe. Needless to say, that camping trip was cut short by a few days. Dad was the best father, but not much of a people person. We had the routine down at this point. We would unload and set up in camp in less than an hour from start to finish. By the time we were done, Waylon had already built the fire and had some sausage links cooking for lunch. The first couple of days were perfect. Waylon and I had a competition going with one another to see who could catch the most fish. Loser had to do the dishes after dinner. Much to my surprise, I beat him several days in a row, though I'm pretty sure I have to give credit to Dad. He helped me when Waylon wasn't looking. He finally managed to outfish me by one small trout. But small or not, it counted, and I lost. Dishes were on me. I scraped the leftovers into a bag, tied it up, and went to washing the dishes. There was a storm rolling in, and we were losing daylight rapidly. I hurried with the dishes while Waylon and Dad prepped for the rain. It started to sprinkle, so they retreated into the tent. I was about to follow them when I remembered the trash had to be taken to the bin just up the way. Otherwise, our campsite would be overrun with critters by morning, rain or not. I hollered to let my dad know I was taking the trash. He just told me to hurry or I'd be soggy. I grabbed the bag and ran up the road through the trees, where we had come through the other day. It wasn't that far, but I knew there was a good chance by the time I got there, I'd be soaked. And I was right. By the time I reached the can, the rain had started to come down pretty heavy. It was hard to see the road. I turned to run back to the camp, when out of nowhere I heard the most god-awful piercing scream come from somewhere behind me. I froze immediately and tried to look around to see if I could find the source of the sound, but there was just the sound of the rain pouring down. I remember being scared out of my mind, but I just wanted to get back to my dad and brother. That's when I saw something dark move out of the corner of my eye. I spun around, but saw nothing. Then I heard the scream again. This time it was louder and much closer. I ran as fast as I could back in the direction of our tent. I wasn't brave enough to look behind me. The rain was coming down so hard now, I couldn't see more than a few feet in front of me. The scream rang out again. If it weren't for the rain soaking my face, my tears would have been. I ran and ran, but realized too late. I had been running the wrong direction. I should have made it back to our tent by now, but there was just nothing but trees and more road. When I heard the scream again, I screamed back, hoping my dad or brother would hear my cries for help. It's a little blurry as to what happened next, but I hit the water like a rock. I had ran right off a cliff into the lake. I was a strong swimmer, but I was scared out of my mind and couldn't think straight. I couldn't even see the shore because of the rain. I kicked and thrashed. I had used all my energy running, and I didn't have much left to keep my head above water. I kicked and tried to swim, but it wasn't long before I couldn't keep my head up any longer. I knew I was going to drown, but there was nothing I could do. With my last few kicks, I turned around, and the last thing I saw was a pair of big black eyes, just a few feet away, staring at me. I tried to scream, but my mouth filled with water, and everything went black. Flathead Lake, situated in the picturesque landscapes of western Montana, stands as one of the largest natural freshwater lakes in the United States. This majestic lake, nestled amidst the rugged beauty of the Rocky Mountains, boasts crystalline waters that offer unparalleled clarity and purity, drawing visitors from far and wide. Formed by ancient glaciers during the last ice age, Flathead Lake is fed by the pristine waters of the Flathead River, originating from the Canadian Rockies and winding its way through lush forests and meadows before flowing into the lake. Its shores are adorned with a mosaic of sandy beaches, rocky cliffs, and verdant forests, creating a scenic paradise for outdoor enthusiasts and nature lovers. The lake teems with diverse aquatic life, including various species of trout, whitefish, and perch, making it a haven for fishing enthusiasts. Beyond its natural splendor, Flathead Lake holds cultural significance for the Salish and Kootenai tribes, who have revered its waters for generations, weaving stories and legends that add to its mysterious aura. Flathead Lake is located within the ancestral homelands of the Salish and Kootenai tribes, two distinct Native American groups with rich cultural histories and traditions. The Salish people, also known as the Flathead, are part of the larger Salishan language family and historically inhabited the western regions of Montana, including the areas surrounding Flathead Lake. They were primarily hunter-gatherers, relying on the abundant natural resources of the region for sustenance. The Salish are renowned for their craftsmanship, particularly in the creation of intricate beadwork, basketry, and traditional regalia. Today, the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes, formed through the merger of the tribes, continue to preserve and celebrate their cultural heritage through various cultural events, language revitalization efforts, and tribal programs. Through the years, the tribes have woven their beliefs and legends into the land and its surroundings. One of those legends being about how the lake was formed from a sorrowful mother's tears. According to this tale, long ago, a grieving mother wept inconsolably over the loss of her beloved children. Her tears flowed endlessly, forming the lake. The immense sorrow and depth of her grief are said to have filled the basin, creating the expansive and tranquil lake that we see today. According to the tribes, the shores of Flathead Lake are inhabited by mystical beings capable of changing their forms at will. In the stories, these shapeshifters are often depicted as elusive and mysterious figures who possess the ability to transform into various animals or even other humans. They are said to move seamlessly between the physical and spiritual realms, appearing and disappearing at will, and often interacting with unsuspecting travelers or locals. The legends typically portray these shapeshifters as guardians or protectors of the lake and its surrounding lands. They are believed to possess ancient wisdom and spiritual powers, using their abilities to watch over the natural world and maintain balance and harmony in the region. Encounters with these shapeshifters are often described as both awe-inspiring and unsettling. Some stories recount individuals who unwittingly stumble upon these beings, only to be led on mystical journeys, or taught important lessons about respect for the land and its inhabitants. The tribes also tell tales of the legendary Nkusum, The Ngusum, often referred to as the Screaming Woman, is a legendary figure whose story is passed down through generations as part of the rich oral tradition of these indigenous peoples. According to legend, Ngusum was a beautiful young woman of the Salish tribe who fell deeply in love with a Kootenai warrior from a rival tribe. Their forbidden love sparked outrage and conflict among their people, as intertribal relationships were strictly forbidden. Despite the challenges and opposition they faced, Ngusum and her beloved remained devoted to each other, defying the norms and traditions of the respective tribes. However, their love was not to last, as tragedy struck when the Kootenai warrior was killed in battle, leaving Ngusum heartbroken and grief-stricken. Consumed by despair and anguish, Ngusum's sorrow manifested into a haunting wail that echoed throughout the valley, earning her the moniker of the Screaming Woman. Legend has it that her cries can still be heard on quiet nights, echoing across the shores of the lake. Nestled within the expansive waters of the lake lies one of its most renowned treasures, Wild Horse Island. This rugged expanse spans approximately 2,164 acres, boasting a variety of diverse wildlife, breathtaking vistas, and a storied past steeped in cultural heritage. True to its name, Wild Horse Island is the domain of a population of untamed equines, descendants of steeds introduced to the region by early settlers. These majestic creatures freely roam the island's grassy meadows and wooded slopes, adding an ethereal charm to its already captivating landscape. Beyond the wild horses, the island is a thriving habitat for an array of wildlife, from graceful deer and imposing bighorn sheep to majestic bald eagles and soaring osprey. Its ecosystem teems with a vibrant tapestry of flora and fauna, beckoning nature enthusiasts and photographers alike to immerse themselves in its natural splendor. Yet Wild Horse Island is not merely a sanctuary of natural beauty. It is also a repository of rich history and folklore. Revered as a sacred site for the indigenous Salish and Kootenai tribes, the island resonates with the echoes of ancient legends and spiritual tales. Amongst the most enduring of these legends is that of the Spirit Horse, a mythical being said to dwell within the island's hidden valleys and secluded enclaves. Revered as a guardian of the land, the Spirit Horse is said to possess otherworldly powers and wisdom, appearing only to those deemed pure of heart and worthy of its divine presence. Another tale speaks of the island's wild horse population, believed to have been introduced by early Native American tribes as mounts for hunting and travel. Over time, these horses adapted to their untamed surroundings, roaming freely and becoming an integral part of the island's natural ecosystem. Yet amidst the island's idyllic beauty lies an undercurrent of mystery and intrigue. Whispers abound of ghostly apparitions, mysterious lights, and eerie phenomena haunting its shores, shrouding Wild Horse Island in an aura of enigmatic allure. As visitors traverse its rugged terrain and delve into its hidden depths, they are met with more than just breathtaking scenery. They are immersed in the echoes of ancient tales that linger on the whispers of the wind. Almost every sizable body of water has its own associated legend, with some being more renowned than others. Flathead Lake has its own counterpart to the Loch Ness Monster, affectionately known as Flessie, in tribute to Nessie the Loch Ness Monster. The legend of Flessie has endured for centuries, with contemporary sightings adding to the mystique of the creature residing in the depths of Flathead Lake. The origins of the original Flathead Lake monster legend can be traced back hundreds of years to tales recounted by the Kootenai tribes. According to their lore, upon their initial settlement in the region, they resided on an island situated in the heart of the lake. Two young girls endowed with mystical abilities were crossing the frozen lake to return to their island when they noticed what seemed to be a set of antlers protruding above the ice. desiring the antlers for themselves. The girls approached the scene with the intention of retrieving them from the unfortunate creature trapped beneath the frozen surface. Upon reaching the antlers and armed with sharp-edged rocks, the girls began to chip away at the ice encasing them. Suddenly, the ice fractured and gave way, revealing the owner of the antlers, a colossal monster. With vigorous movements, the creature shook off the ice as the two girls watched in astonishment. Upon grasping the gravity of their predicament, given their mystical abilities, the girls promptly transformed into a ball and buckskin target to evade the fury of the awakened monster. Unfortunately, their tribe was not as fortunate. The tremors from the creature's intense shaking shattered the ice, extending up to the island and causing it to quake. Tragically, half of the tribe perished as they plunged into the frigid waters. According to the legend, this catastrophe is the reason for the scarcity of the Kootenai tribe, with those who survived residing near the lake shoreline. The tale of the Flathead Lake Monster resurfaced more than a century ago, courtesy of steamboat Captain James C. Kerr. He recounted an encounter in 1889, where he and over 100 passengers aboard his vessel stumbled upon the creature while navigating Flathead Lake. Initially, the observers mistook the creature for a colossal log floating on the water as the boat approached. However, as they drew nearer, a creature emerged from the depths. Captain Kerr and his passengers agreed that the creature bore a resemblance to a whale or an eel. In a moment of panic, one passenger drew a hunting rifle and fired at the enigmatic figure in the water. Startled, the monster swiftly retreated to the deep, leaving the onlookers awestruck by the encounter. Throughout the years, there have been more than 100 sightings of Flessie, typically averaging 2 sightings per year. According to most eyewitness accounts, Flessie is described as an eel-like creature, measuring between 20 to 40 feet in length, with blue-black skin and penetrating oily black eyes. However, some reports offer a different perspective, suggesting that Flessie may be smaller, around 10 feet in length, and resembling more of a fish-like creature with a shark's fin-like tail. Additionally, there are those who speculate that Flathead Lake may be home to multiple monsters. Some locals entertain the notion that there could be anywhere between 3 to 5 of these creatures inhabiting the lake. One of the most peculiar incidents occurred when a researcher claimed to have spotted the lake monster in 1985, and then again 2 years later. Such occurrences are exceedingly rare, as encountering it even once in a lifetime is uncommon. Typically, there are only 1 to 2 sightings reported each year. However, in 1993, an unusually high number of sightings were documented, despite no significant anomalies in weather or lake conditions that year. The sightings surged. On May 24, 1993, witnesses reported seeing 2 monsters together in Big Arm Bay. One appeared notably larger than the other, leading to speculation that they might be a parent and offspring or a mating pair. Similarly, on July 15, 1993, 2 sightings occurred just 25 minutes and 15 miles apart. On July 17, a couple of days later, 2 more sightings were reported in the same vicinity, albeit several hours apart. Adding to the intrigue, on July 13th, before the reported sightings, off Woods Bay, a bank officer and a district sales manager from Seattle managed to capture a few seconds of video footage featuring the monster. The footage depicted a sizable dark shape approximately 12 feet in length, submerged just below the water's surface. According to one witness who claimed to have seen the creature before the filming began, it bore a head reminiscent of a sturgeon and possessed an eel-like body. While there have been numerous sightings of the monster over the years, the events of 1993 marked a particularly noteworthy period in the search for the elusive Flathead Lake monster. While one might instinctively feel fear upon encountering Flessy, some accounts suggest that fearing this seemingly gentle creature may be unwarranted. A well-known anecdote involving the monster revolves around a 3-year-old boy who narrowly escaped a tragic fate. After falling into the water, his frantic mother searched for him in despair. Just as she lost all hope, her son miraculously reappeared on the riverbank. When questioned how he made it back to shore, the boy reportedly credited the Flathead monster with bringing him home. The majority of those who claim to have encountered the monster describe it as large but not menacing, suggesting that it poses no real threat. The lore surrounding Flathead Lake persists in present times, with local residents enjoying its tales. A local restaurant even pays homage to the legend by naming a pizza after the creature. Flessy appears to captivate the imagination of those acquainted with Flathead Lake, holding sway over both their thoughts and emotions. For those hesitant to report sightings due to potential ridicule, reassurance is provided by those who collect such accounts. They assure individuals that reports are taken seriously and will be accurately recorded. Flessy's existence may forever remain a mystery. Nonetheless, the enduring legend continues to serve as an enjoyable aspect of local folklore. The aura of mystery that envelops the shores of Flathead Lake is undeniable. It beckons adventurers and seekers of the unknown, promising an experience beyond the ordinary. Exploring the area around this legendary lake is not just an excursion. It's an invitation to delve into the depths of untamed wilderness and uncover the secrets that lie hidden within. I woke to a hazy image of my dad hovering over me. I'd never seen him look so scared before. The first thought I had was wondering if I was dead. But I was most definitely not dead. And as I sat up violently vomiting water and gasping for air, my dad was patting me on the back, yelling things at my brother that I didn't understand fully. After I stopped spewing water, my dad scooped me into his arms and hauled me to the nearest hospital. I wasn't sure if I was in pure shock over the almost dying part of the whole situation, but I found myself unable to speak. The doctors, the nurses, my dad, and even a counselor came to my bedside, all asking me the same thing. What happened? They all wanted to know. And part of me knew what I had heard and what I had saw, but I just couldn't wrap my head around it. Once they knew I was stable, they let me sleep, which had helped me clear my head. When I woke, Waylon was sitting next to my bedside, with his head on the bed next to my legs, fast asleep. When I nudged him, you would have thought I electrocuted him. He smiled and jumped up for a big hug. I thought he might squeeze the life right back out of me. He punched me on the arm and demanded I tell him what happened. I told him about the screams, and to my surprise, they hadn't heard it. It had been so loud, though. There's no way the rain could have drowned out the scream. Then I told him how I ended up in the water and had been drowning. I was hesitant to tell him about the creature I saw just before it all went black. I wasn't sure I had even remembered it correctly, considering my lungs and mind had been deprived of oxygen. But I decided to tell him what I'd saw behind those big black eyes. A massive, eel-like creature. I thought it was going to eat me, but it didn't. The creature was about to grab me when I passed out. I told him I didn't remember how I got back to shore or so close to our campsite. I was drowning one second, and the next, Dad was hovering over me. After telling Waylon everything, he convinced me to keep part of the story to myself. He told me the doctors would think I'd lost my mind and would want to keep me. So when the doctors came asking questions again, I just told them I got lost in the rain and fell off a cliff into the water. Easy enough, and no one would think I was crazy for hearing voices and seeing a big scary monster. I surprisingly had no injuries, and they released me by noon that day. My mom had practically paced a hole in the floor by the time they released me. She had been up all night worrying herself sick over me. When we left, Mom went to the campsite to help us pack up. I tried to tell my dad I was fine and we didn't need to go home. We had to finish our camping trip. But both he and my mother had already agreed. The camping trip was over. I tried to convince them both that I was all right, but they wouldn't listen. So I sat by the water's edge and skipped rocks over the lake while everyone else packed and got ready to go home. They wouldn't even let me help pack up the camping supplies. I kept apologizing to my brother for ruining our family trip, but he assured me it was okay. He was just glad I didn't drown. I still didn't quite understand how I'd made it out of the water, or how I'd managed to fall off of a cliff. There weren't even any cliffs that close by. There's no way I could have floated that far on my own and lived. As we piled into the truck that day, I could have sworn I caught a glimpse of a pair of ominous black eyes peering from a shadowy log, silently watching our departure. 25 years have passed since that haunting encounter, yet the memory remains etched in my mind, a mystery lingering in the depths of my consciousness. It's a moment I've replayed countless times, wondering what lurked beneath the surface of the dark lake, moments before I was swallowed by its depths. Over the years, I've recounted my tale to skeptical ears, met with disbelief and dismissal. Some have labeled me delusional, others branded me crazy. And while I've grappled with doubts myself, there's a part of me that refuses to let go of the truth buried within that chilling memory. So I called up my brother and asked him to go on one final adventure with me. I wanted to go back to the lake and see if I could find the creature that had saved my life. I think Waylon had always believed me, but it's hard to believe in something that few had ever seen. We even called our dad to bring him on the trip, but he's just had knee replacement surgery, and field trips with the two of us were too hard for him to keep up with anyway. My brother and I spent the next week camping and kayaking around the lake. I paddled until my arms were so sore that I wasn't sure if they'd ever work right again. We rowed all over the lake, it seemed for miles, trying to find any sign of the black-eyed creature that saved me. After all these years, I had no doubt that the creature had actually saved my life. The sky was getting dark, and it looked like the storms were going to set in a little sooner than what they had predicted. So we hurried back to shore, though we were fighting a bit of a current that had blown in with the wind. When we were just over the swells, I could see something large, and it was coming our way. I yelled to my brother, but he was fighting to keep the kayak upright, and he couldn't get a good look at what I was seeing. I knew it was real. I just knew it. This had to be the beast that had saved me. The swells got bigger and harder to fight. Waylon had almost made it back to shore when I could hear him calling for me to paddle faster and harder. But I found myself frozen in place as the large form approached slowly. I could still hear Waylon yelling from the shore. I knew he had made it out of his kayak safely. I paddled, but not in the direction I should have. I paddled towards the mass, my movements driven by instinct rather than reason, drawn towards the dark shape looming ahead. Only too late did I realize it was merely a cluster of debris, remnants of a fallen tree adrift on the water's surface. The collision with the kayak was sudden and violent, hurling me into the frigid embrace of the lake. As I broke through the surface, disoriented and gasping for air, I found myself surrounded by towering waves the horizon obscured by their relentless fury. Desperation fueled my every stroke as I kicked and thrashed through the tumultuous waters, my efforts in vain against the merciless currents. Each moment seemed to stretch into eternity as I struggled to discern any sign of land amidst the churning chaos. With each passing second, the realization dawned with chilling clarity. I was alone, adrift in a vast expanse of water, with no one to hear my cries for help. But just as despair threatened to consume me, a familiar presence stirred beneath the waves, a shadow gliding gracefully through the turbulent depths. In disbelief, I watched as the creature, once a mysterious savior from my distant past, emerged from the violent waters. With gentle strength, it guided me through the treacherous currents, leading me back to the safety of the shoreline. As I collapsed upon solid ground, shaken but alive, I knew that I owed my survival once again to the mysterious guardian of the lake, a silent protector whose existence defied rational explanation, yet whose compassion had never faltered. Thank you for joining us on our journey to Flathead Lake. Tune in next week as we discuss another terrific location. I'm Carmen Carrion. Remember, you can send me suggestions and stories of haunted places to my email, CarmenCarrion@gmail.com, or follow me on Twitter @CarmenCarrion. Go to eeriecast.com to find other terrifying podcasts, such as Freaky Folklore, hosted by me, Carmen Carrion. Until next time, be safe out there, until I see you at our next destination.